second hour here on this nice, bright, shiny spring afternoon. And we're back with Mike Parenti. At least I think we have Mike Parenti. Are you with us there, Mike? I think we might not have him on the... Yeah, Mr. Parenti.
Yes.
Ah, you are there. Yeah, welcome to the Truth Ferrets radio show. Glad to have you on.
Nice to be on, Charles.
Yeah, appreciate you taking the time. I know you must have an awfully busy schedule there, but for the half hour you were able to squeak out of your schedule, really appreciate it. Tell us a little about yourself. You were a professor.
That's right. I describe myself as a recovering academic.
I like that one.
I stopped teaching, 15 years ago. I devote full time to writing and speaking around the country and abroad.
Now, did you retire, or were you kind of pressured out of the academic world? Or
I was pressured out of the academic world in the sense that I could not get employment in suitable departments. I was often turned down by departments where I out-published every single person or the whole department put together. And that was because my politics were very critical, and I was very active politically against various wars and injustices at the time. And academia, which is often described in the mainstream media as a hotbed of liberalism, academia is really very conservative, cautious, and sometimes cowardly place, I would say, as far as confronting the issues of the day.
If my not so refined description of that would be, I like to kiss up.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of careerists and a lot of people who get very nervous very easily, rather than and it shouldn't be that way. I mean, the thing you should do in academia is have the opportunity to confront ideas that you haven't heard before. I mean, you could always reject them and you could always turn them down, but you should also have exposure to them. John Stuart Mill said, "He who knows only his own opinion knows very little of that." If you cannot have that opinion tested or challenged, if you cannot hear alternative views and rebut them and question, or if you cannot see your own opinion from different angles, then you really don't even know much about even your own opinion. So,
well, it's supposed to be part of the learning process, or else we're back in the dark ages again.
Right.
And I think we are, to a degree.
Well, what I am now is what Antonio Gramsci, the great Italian political theorist, said, called the public intellectual. Public intellectuals are people who don't sit in classrooms, but they write to larger publics, and they write to people out there. And that's what I do. Although many of my books are still used in courses around the country, and many of the lecture invitations I get are on college campuses, so I don't want to say, you know, that it's a closed system. There are openings here and there.
I love your book, History's Mysteries.
Oh, you read that, eh? Great.
Oh, very good, yeah. Who was it,
Zachary Taylor,
yeah. Yeah, I never thought of him as being a victim of assassination, but folks, you got to get Mr. Parenti's book. It's very interesting. He brings a lot of stuff out in there that you're not going to find anywhere else.
Right.
You won't see this in the textbooks. It appears he was a victim of poisoning. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with Michael Parenti.
Attention gardeners. If you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
8822. All right, guys, we're back on Truth Hurts. We have as our guest Mike Parenti. And, yeah, so, Mike, you finally realized, all right, this isn't going anywhere. I've been blackballed. So you decided to go as a lecturer and writer. And so here you are now. How many books have you actually written to date?
I've written 20 books. And
wow.
I have 21 coming out in September. You know, I found, though, that whatever the restrictions in academia, there are restrictions all over society. There are employees who lose their jobs just because they voice unpopular opinions. In the medical world, there's almost no freedom of speech. If you want to propose an alternative treatment or cure, which the pharmaceutical corporations do not like, you can run into difficulties there.
It's all about money.
What?
It's all about money.
It's all about money. It's all about marshaling the resources of society for the profit of a select few up at the top, and that is not the way a society can prosper and really serve the well-being of its citizenry.
Absolutely. You know, I can relate to this. I don't want to talk about me, but I can relate to this personally. I was actually a theology major in my more gullible years, and I found out firsthand just what you're talking about. I was called in by my entire theology department, and they basically were trying to buy me off. I stumbled onto some things they didn't want me talking about, so they offered me a job right there on the spot. You know, I still had a year and a half to go to graduate, actually 2 years to go, and they're offering me a job. You know, long before I graduated, we guarantee you you're going to have this job waiting for you if you keep your mouth shut. That's basically what they told me.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, what was the issue that you were dissenting on? Was it...
I'm actually going to talk about that on a future show, but if I go into it now, I'm going to get people jumping all over me. It's very controversial, but it's one of the biggest scandals in organized religion. Let's put it that way. One of the biggest lies that most of my listeners would be shocked if they found out about. And I found out it was the great untouchable, the great no-no. You just don't go there. Mm-hmm. And it's something that all the major churches are lying about. And, you know, let's face it, organized religion, like all other institutions, is corrupt. And when you get that much money and power concentrated at the top, they're going to suppress you. And I said, what do you mean I got to keep quiet about this? I'm supposed to be here to learn and inquire, you know. Nope, we don't allow it. We don't allow you to go on campus and to talk about this. And I couldn't believe it. Ultimately, they fired.
Look at the problem of pedophilia in the Roman Church, which, by the way, has been well publicized, but they haven't publicized that these pedophiles also exist among the Baptists, among the Methodists, an occasional rabbi, a whole bunches of them. But the record showed that the top church officials were more concerned about the bad publicity than about the lives that these guys were wrecking, you know, and they would recycle them, cover it up, hush it up.
Yeah.
And
they move them to another district, and they continue doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now they're paying for it. They're paying through the nose. But rather than civil suits, I'm just sorry these people aren't where they belong, which is in jail. You know, you cover up a crime, you're complicit in the crime, accessory after the fact. And both the perpetrators, the pedophiles, and the people who covered them up should really be facing criminal charges, which occasionally that happens, but more often than not it doesn't, it seems.
Yeah, it seems the higher up the ladder you go, the more they get away with it.
Yeah, that unfortunately is true, which is why Americans should be vigilant, they should be active, they should be try to be as informed as they can and speak out. Don't for a moment think that the powers that be don't care what you think. You know, there are people who say, what's the difference? What I think doesn't matter. They don't care what I think. They don't listen. And they listen all the time. They're trying to manipulate. Every day there are directives that come out of the White House that are designed and fashioned to mold your view of the war, of the economy, of this or that or the other thing. They don't stop. They don't stop bombarding us. They don't want you to think, but they want you to think the way they want you to think, and that is something we should be opposed to. And that's what I try to do in my books. Could I also mention my website, Michael Parenti?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's michaelparenti.org. Parenti is parent with an I at the end. Michaelparenti, one word, .org, with all the little W's in front. And there you can get more details about the various books and some of the articles I've written and other stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a great source of information. I've read quite a few of your books over the years, and I've enjoyed every one of them. You bring some really good perspectives. And it's just no nonsense, just common sense.
Thank you.
And, you know, so, I mean, let me ask you, over the years, you've had a lot of experience, done a lot of research, you've seen several administrations come and go. You've seen us be lied into war after war after war. So, I mean, what's happening today isn't anything new. But wouldn't you agree that, though it's not new, this has got to be absolutely the worst predicament this country has ever been in? I mean, can you fathom an administration that's been worse than this one?
They really have, even from their own perspective, you know, a perspective which I don't share. Let's say you and I are now in the White House with them. Even from their perspective, they've done things that have really been a mess. I mean, for instance, going into Iraq and stripping and disbanding the whole Ba'athist army and police force. Why did they do that? Those guys would have been ready to play ball with them, and they are now a Sunni insurgency. I mean, half of these ex-officers are now part of the ones who are doing the killing against U.S. forces. They went in very arrogantly. They thought they were going to be greeted in the streets with flowers. And you remember Cheney saying they'll be tossing flowers in our path when we arrive, because we're liberating them. They really started to believe their own propaganda, that this was a war of liberation, that we were going to bring democracy. They didn't tell the people. They didn't tell the American people that, in fact, the Iraqi people had a democratic revolution in 1958, and they kicked out the British and American oil companies, and they set up a representative government. And they didn't tell the American people that the CIA had backed Saddam Hussein, and he came in and he killed every constitutionalist, every progressive, every reformer. He even wiped out the whole progressive wing of his own Baathist party. Yep. And when he did that, when he was at his worst, he was Washington's poster boy. They loved him. They gave him aid. They gave him money. They gave him guns. They even signed him in a war against Iran, and he was great. It's only when he got out of line on the oil quotas, when he said Iraq should have a larger quota of the oil market, it's only when he started committing economic nationalism where he started, instead of throwing his country open, wide open, to foreign big corporate investors, he started developing it and training cadres of engineers and setting up programs, and he kept the whole economy state-owned instead of handing it over to the big corporations. That's when suddenly they started finding fault with him. That's when they suddenly said, hey, this guy's a dictator. Thank you. Hello. Wake up. That's right. And you knew it all along. Oh, he's a dictator. Oh, he's a menace. He's a threat to the whole region. He works with Al-Qaeda, which was a lie. I mean,
of course,
He and Al-Qaeda never got along. He was a secular.
His tyranny was fine until he wasn't cooperating with them. Then his tyranny was unacceptable.
that's right. And now, so they said, we've got to go in to kill him. Okay, they've went in and they have killed him. And why are they still there then? I think if the U.S. got out of Iraq, what would immediately happen, there would be some chaos. There would be a lot of scores settled. But I think they would then all have to face each other and settle it. And
they'd work it out fine.
They'd sort it out themselves. You know, Charles, you're old enough to remember the Vietnam War, aren't you? We heard the same thing for about 10 years.
I was a
kid,
but I remember it, sure.
Well, we heard the same thing for about 10 years. Well, we can't just get out. We can't just cut and run. Lyndon Johnson used that same phrase. We're not going to cut and run.
Well,
we can't just get out. Well, you know what happened when we got out? The day we got out, the killing stopped. They were spraying no more villages with Agent Orange. There was the Phoenix assassination program stopped, which had killed about 30,000 school teachers and union leaders and all sorts of other people run by the CIA. Those political assassinations stopped. The fighting stopped in all the jungles and villages. All of it stopped, and Vietnam began its long trip to repairing itself. And that's what happened. There was no big bloodbath. We were saying the bloodbath is going on right now when the troops are there, and the same is Iraq. I heard.
But look what it's doing for Halliburton.
It's done wonders for Halliburton. They've walked away with hundreds of millions of dollars in profits. The Pentagon itself has admitted that one-third of the billions of dollars it's been handing out, they don't know where it's gone. They have no accounting for it. So there's a lot of sticky fingers, and there's a lot of fat, deep pockets that have done very well on Iraq. I guess it's false to say it's a total failure. For some people, Iraq has been very good. The defense budget is almost doubled. Halliburton, Bechtel, Blackwater, these guys are making money. About 100 corporations are in there making money off the U.S. taxpayer like you wouldn't believe.
And yet I remember Bush saying about Saddam, he's living in a palace while his people are starving on the streets. And look what's going on here. The hypocrisy is so disgusting. Folks, we'll be right back after the break with Mike Parenti. Stick with us.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hey, welcome back to Truth Hurts. We got one more segment here with Michael Parenti. So, yeah, Mr. Parenti, where do you, in your opinion, where do you see things going right now? I mean, they're talking about Iran. They're really obviously bent on going into Iran. Do you see this happening? Do you see this country surviving another year and a half with these guys?
I think they really are laying the basis for an attack of Iran, not a land invasion.
Yeah.
Iran is twice as big as Iraq, and it's hilly, too, and it's got a lot of fanatics who would be ready to, you know, strap themselves up with bombs and whatever else.
It would be far worse than Iraq.
It would be Iraq three times over. They would need 500,000 troops and or more, and but what they might do is just attack it aerially, as they did with Yugoslavia, where they just destroyed Yugoslavia. Bill Clinton destroyed it with 78 days around the clock, nonstop bombing, and that's what they seem to be getting ready to do. They will attack Iran and reduce it to an impoverished, shattered country, so that the Western investors and forces have a freer hand in the area. This seems to be the case. You can understand why these countries start wanting to play a nuclear card. North Korea, for instance, talking about it's got nuclear missiles. It's got like a little Scud nuclear thing that maybe can't even reach Alaska, I don't think. But they make a big show of it, because they understand that these U.S. rulers don't attack countries that have nuclear weapons. They only attack countries that don't have nuclear weapons. They only attack smaller countries. They only attack countries that really can't fight back. And this is why Iran is talking about having enriched uranium and all, which, by the way, every country in the world has a right to develop enriched uranium.
Sure, of course. What kind of pretext do you see them coming up with? Do you think they're going to stage some kind of an event to justify going in there? Because it seems like they're coming up with all kinds of things and nothing's panning out. Everybody's seeing through it, so they back off. Then they come up with something else and no one buys that, they back off.
Yeah, it is an interesting dynamic, isn't it? You detected that. Yeah, they do seem to they call the president crazy, Ahmadinejad. I don't know. I saw his open letter to President Bush. It was a pretty decent and very sane letter. He said, "You, as a Christian and believer in Christian, do you not want to pursue a policy of peace? Must there be perpetual wars?" And he seemed to me pretty
level-headed.
Yeah, pretty level-headed compared to the people who are pursuing this murderous, nightmarish thing in Iraq. But what they do is they call him crazy and nuts and this and that, and so that becomes, when you demonize the leader, that becomes justification to remove him. And when you want to remove him, that becomes justification for bombing his people. And that's one of the mechanisms. Then they can say Iran is a destabilizing force. What's more destabilizing than bombing and attacking a country? That's more destabilizing. Well, what is Iran? Iran has not invaded or attacked anybody in the region around. So what have they been destabilizing? But these become the images,
right,
and they play on the fear of the American people.
Oh, sure.
I mean, Americans do not like war, and they do not want to see a lot of civilians killed and all this. They're not bloodlusting crazy people or anything. But if you get them frightened enough, you say, look, we got to fight them there, otherwise we'll be fighting them right here on Main Street. Then it becomes, well, if it's a matter of protecting my kids and my home, then yeah, I support it. So they'll play on that fear and say Iran may be developing nuclear weapons and may attack us and so forth. So
do you ever see the American people waking up? I mean, this has been going on for decades. Since World War II?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's not a very original scenario. They do it again and again. They did it with Noriega to invade Panama. They did it, and he had been an ally. You know, the minute he refused to play ball about Nicaragua and all, they started finding problems with him. They did it with Grenada. They did it with Iraq twice now. You think the people would sort of catch wise, and they do seem to be not buying it anymore in terms of Iraq. They do seem to be saying, listen, we've heard this stuff again and again, and we're getting tired of it. So maybe there's hope. The polls do seem to show that the general public is way ahead of the White House leadership on these issues.
Yeah, right, definitely. You know, I just wanted to ask you real quick, I'm very skeptical of what has given this administration its impetus to engage in its warfare activities, you know, that famous event on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as, either something that the administration themselves actually engaged in carrying out, or at least sat back and let it happen. How do you feel about that? Do you think there's a possibility that...
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I've signed that statement that's been going around. A number of prominent progressive speakers, Howard Zinn, I was happy to see that he finally came around and he signed it, calling for a independent investigation. I said, do you really trust the commission that's been handpicked by George Bush to discuss this issue, you know?
I didn't know that he had signed that. That's great.
A lot of unanswered questions there.
Oh, absolutely. I guess that's it. You just have the half hour, huh?
Right. That's what wasn't it half hour?
Yeah, that's what you'd agree to. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on and keep going what you're doing. You're doing a great job, and I'll have you on again sometime.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back, folks, to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani, and I got some good news. Mike Parenti said that he's willing to stay with us for the rest of the show here for the next half hour, so that's really good because we're onto some very interesting stuff here. We were talking before the break about you and Howard Zinn have signed the petition, huh, for a further investigation into 9/11.
That's right. Yeah. I'm thinking of the way George Bush behaved about the whole issue. First, he denied that he ever had prior knowledge, and then that turned out to be false. There was the August 6th memo sent by the CIA.
Right.
And then he said, well, yeah, they said there was going to be an attack, but they didn't say where or when or how or by whom. Well, that wasn't quite true. They did say when. They said soon. They did say where. They said it would probably in a large urban center like New York. They did say how they thought it would be an airplane hijacked that might be used as a weapon flown into buildings.
Very specific, yeah.
And they did say by whom. They said most likely Al Qaeda.
Wasn't it convenient when this story came out in May 2002? They started issuing orange alerts and distracting attention away.
Yeah, and the president of the United States, I mean, excuse me, if you're the president, what, do you got to have it handed to you on a platter at the exact hour and date of the, don't you start doing things? He never even alerted the airlines. He never alerted the airports.
Nothing.
About possible hijacking, nothing like that.
Condoleezza, when she went before the commission, she said, we had no idea of a scenario of this, you know, of this nature. That was a total lie.
That's right. And then she, if you remember, Charlie, she sort of backstepped a little. She said, well, we knew that we had information there would be a terrorist attack, but we thought it would be a hostage situation. You know, not flying. But I thought that was very interesting. So you did have some information, you know, and they didn't do a thing on it. And then his next act of cover-up was to not appoint a commission for 440 days.
Right. 14 months.
That's a record. Usually on crises like this, like Pearl Harbor or the Kennedy assassination, within
a
month.
The next day.
Yeah, within a few weeks or a month, they've appointed a commission. He went this long, and finally he succumbed to pressure. His next act of cover-up was he appointed Henry Kissinger to head the commission.
Oh, wasn't that something?
It was such an uproar. Henry Kissinger. His whole career has been to cover up every
sure.
guy. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
War criminal.
War criminal that he is. So he backed
down. But, I mean, look at the cutback on the funding. They gave $50 million to the shuttle commission. These guys got $9 million. They cut back on the time allotted to them.
That's right. And then Bush himself said he would not testify. And then he said, I'll testify, but only in secrecy, with no recording, no recording secretary, nothing recorded.
Not being under oath.
And not under oath, which is not testimony. If you're not testifying under oath, then you're just talking to people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And with Dick Cheney holding my hand and only for an hour, and he said I will do, and only for an hour, and only
yeah.
to the two co-chairmen, not to the whole commission, because he didn't want anybody to get out. So that's a rather remarkable.
And then
remarkable
after,
display.
I remember comments were made by Hamilton and Keene after they met with Bush and Cheney that it was a very relaxed atmosphere. We didn't say anything to upset him in this politically charged election year. After all, we're not on a witch hunt. We're not here to point
right.
fingers. We just want to make sure nothing like this happens again. So it wasn't an investigation anyway.
Right. It wasn't an investigation anyway, with the two co-chairmen showing how reasonable and moderate and non-disturbing they were. They weren't going to make any
waves. He hand-selected them.
Yeah. Yes. Well, so given all of that, we do indeed need a... for instance, the whole strange affair of Building 7 going down like a controlled demolition after its owner said, we're going to pull it. None of that was even investigated by the commission. Now, I mean, you know, I haven't concluded. I'm not saying one way or the other. I would just like to know. I would just like to get the answers to these questions. The critics of 9/11, you know, the people who say it's a conspiracy, they pose a lot of questions, and they have a lot of unanswered. They have a lot of unanswered things they say too. I pose questions to them, and they don't really have answers sometimes that convince me. But they're not in power. They're under no obligation. You know, it's the government that has to answer the questions about the events that took place, because it was the government that was one of the players in all of this.
And the answers so far they've given have raised more questions, given us more doubt. You know, they haven't resolved anything. You know.
Exactly.
Did you know that there were firemen? I mean, this is from CNN's website. There were firemen on the scene there and rescue workers before Building 7 came down. They're actually ordering people out of the area. They said the building is going to explode. They actually said that. The building's going to come down. Get out of the way. Very,
right.
very suspicious.
Very strange, yes. And all the personnel were emptied out of it, and police and firemen were taken out of it and moved away, and then suddenly it just, by natural cause, act of God, it went down. Yeah,
something that's just not even possible that way. I mean, it's such a rapid pace, and you know, turning mostly to dust as it comes down, and from the base, that's what's most suspicious to me, is it crumbles from the base. How does that happen?
It did resemble a controlled demolition. I don't understand it, and I would like it to be investigated. If it went down because of the impact of the two towers going down and the damage sustained, water and all that, that was only on one corner, one side of it. It would have fallen. It would have fallen in a different direction.
In that direction, sure.
And broken. It would have broken up or shaken up or something instead of sliding right down perfectly.
The roof is perfectly level all the way down to the ground. It doesn't tip in any direction.
Yeah, you know, that's the same with the two Twin Towers themselves. So it's all kind of creepy. It really is. And I believe these people are perfectly capable of perpetrating any kind of incident to mobilize the people. Yeah, it doesn't have to be my belief or your speculation or anything. They wrote about it in the Project for New American Century, a website, right. a think tank, which then later became the administration, the think tank in which Wolfowitz was one of the prime players, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, Elliot Abrams, all these people. They
New
published
Pearl Harbor.
A thing called, pardon me?
They call for a New Pearl Harbor, yeah.
Right. Yes. They said what we need is another Pearl Harbor that would mobilize the people to, because the American public will never agree to just going to war places on the other side of the globe and the like. And so we need a new Pearl Harbor. Wow. Well, that's very, and sure enough, they got the new Pearl Harbor.
Are you aware of a similar statement that Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote in his 1997 book, The Grand Chessboard? In fact, his statement's even more hair-raising. On page 211, he talked about...
No, please tell me.
Oh, yeah. He talked about the need in coming years to go into Eurasia, of course, mm-hmm. Afghanistan. He talked about building the pipeline, which is now under construction. But the way he said it is, he said, in order to do this, to catalyze the American public behind us in support of this agenda, we need to have, and these are his exact words, we need to have a massive and widely perceived direct external threat.
That's so it.
You put that together with the PNAC document, and it's almost like they're telling you they were planning something of this nature.
Right.
Well, I have to tell you, Mr. Parenti, I'm very impressed that I didn't realize that. Is this how Howard Zinn feels, too? He has strong suspicions?
Howard Zinn's been very quiet about the issue, so that's why I was glad that he at least agreed to the call for a truly independent commission investigating and having subpoena powers. You see, there are a lot of independent investigators now, but they don't have subpoena powers. They can't call certain people. They can't demand to look at certain documents and all that.
Well, Howard is still in the academic world, right? He's still teaching?
No, he's retired.
Oh, he is?
I can't speak for him on this issue. I did mention to his credit, he did sign this the petition. It had quite a few signatures of some fairly, you know, knowledgeable people too.
He's very elusive. I can't get a hold of him. I'd love to get him on my show, but I can never get any contact info on him.
I don't have his email anymore. I don't know exactly what he's doing, where he is right now.
Yeah, if anybody has it, you can write to me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com, and you could send me his email. I'd love to have him on too. I'd be interested to get his perspective on what he thinks is happening now. When you realized at least the potential that these guys have to do stuff like this, it's pretty scary.
Yes.
Projecting forward, you know, are they going to stage something like this? There have been people who have come forward, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, ironically, has stated that he wouldn't be surprised if they're planning on staging an event to frighten the public, you know, to go into Iran. Ron Paul, Representative Ron Paul of Texas, has said the same thing, too. So, I mean, there are people...
Another thing our U.S. rulers do is play upon our patriotic pride. They tell us we're the very special country. We have a special mission in the world, which is to save everybody else, to teach them democracy. I mean, as I said, teaching Iraq democracy, they had a democratic government in 1958, and it got overthrown by U.S. Subversion in part, and they backed Saddam Hussein. So it's just not accurate, and it's not true. And we are not God's gift to mankind. We're we're a nation of people with tremendous accomplishments, it's true, and a lot in our history to be proud of, and then some other things in our history that we shouldn't be too proud of, but we should have the courage to confront, you know, and, I mean, you know, 200 years of slavery, I think you should confront that and so forth, and the extermination of the Native American Indian nations, you know, So I wrote a book on that called Super Patriotism, which is to say that you can love, when you love your country, it doesn't mean you got to put down other countries. It doesn't mean you got to strut around and say we're better than you, we're the best in the world, and that sort of thing. When we go into the Olympics, it doesn't mean you got to say we got to win at any cost, USA, USA. You should appreciate the Olympics for the quality of the play by all the teams. The whole idea of the Olympics was to foster friendship among nations, not to incite competitiveness and supremacy. And divisiveness and supremacy. And, you know, we won the most gold medals and we're the best and we're the greatest.
Well, you know the old saying.
I don't feel that's real patriotism. You
know? No, I don't either. And, you know, the old saying, pride comes before a fall. We have turned our own allies into our enemies, basically, or at least they don't trust us anyway. They're very leery.
The U.S. is more unpopular today than it's ever been through much of the world. It's true. And much of it is because of this war. And, you know, a lot of these countries, before Bush went into this war, I saw something I'd never seen before in my life, massive demonstrations against the war before it ever started. I mean, usually you couldn't get people out until the bombs started dropping. Then they would get upset and they'd come out. Not only that, but all over the world, there were demonstrations in countries like Finland, Japan, Lithuania, Mexico, Nigeria. I mean, these are countries that don't have any kind of close historical or cultural link to Iraq. So what would they do? They were demonstrating. They were saying, look, you can't play like you're king of the planet and you can decide which countries shall live or die and then just hit any country you want and by conjuring up pretenses. So there's a very strong feeling that the U.S. is really getting out of hand, that it's, you know, that its leaders are really inflating themselves. And it is. That's right out of the Bible. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit goes before the fall. And the popular phrase is, pride goeth before the fall. And that's what seems to be happening now. You know, they were so full of themselves and unanswerable weapons and spending so much money on weaponry now. We're spending, if you count the $487 billion military budget, and another $124 billion for Iraq, and another $30 billion or so, $20, $30 billion for Afghanistan.
Imagine if that went to job creation, for example, what that could do for
the economy. That's right, yeah. Right. There's talk here of a high-speed monorail train that can go from downtown San Francisco to downtown L.A. in two and a half hours. I mean, what... And now it takes you all day. You got to get out to the airport. You got to be there 2 hours before. You got to get on the plane, get to LAX. Got to get a drive an hour back into the center of LAX. But they can't build it because they don't have the money. It would cost $40 billion. Well, that would create an awful lot of jobs. That would really help the economy, and it would be a wonderful thing for the environment. You could cut out most of your flights, you know, to the San Francisco, L.A., or a lot of them.
I get the
but
perfect
they don't
solution.
Have the 40 million. Well, 40 billion
shut down.
Is what they spent. They spent 40 billion in Iraq in a couple of months, you know.
Right. Yeah, about $10 billion a month on average in Iraq. How about shut down Halliburton, seize the assets of those criminals, and spread the money abroad? You could do a lot with that. A lot of good.
A lot of good.
I mean, you're about $60 they pay them for a six-pack of Coke, and it's just ridiculous.
Yes, that's right.
And
well,
then you hear about the food packets that they give the soldiers a lot of times that are tainted. They're you know, it's not even edible, the food that they're giving them.
Yeah, my son was in Iraq. I mean, as a journalist and all, and he embedded with the troops, and they really are bitter and cynical and demoralized. He says, and you know, and troubled about why they don't have proper armoring on their trucks, on their armored vehicles.
Sitting ducks.
I mean, how can these people with homemade devices be blowing up these armored vehicles and killing so many people, and this is still going on? There's been no.
Do you know Greg Pallast? He works for the. I had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he brought out a very interesting point. His idea is that they're dragging this out. They want this to drag out deliberately, just like Vietnam. They wanted it to drag out. Korea. They wanted it to drag out. It maximizes the profits and it justifies the high oil prices.
That's absolutely right. It keeps the Iraqi crude, which is some of the best in the world, 138 billion barrels of it. It keeps it off the market. Well, that's what George Bush Sr., daddy, did back in 1991. And that's not, and that's, again, not a conspiracy theory or some speculation I'm making up. It was right there in the New York Times business page. It said, Iraqi oil, if Iraqi oil gets on the market, this can really hurt oil prices. Companies are concerned and all that.
Yeah, once again, profit over people. Stick with us, folks. We'll be back with one more segment with Mr. Michael Parenti. Very interesting stuff.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Hey, folks. We're back here on Truth Hurts Radio with Michael Parenti. Got, unfortunately, just a few more minutes here. We're running down to the end of the show, but it's been very, very interesting, very informative. I got to say again, sir, I'm very encouraged that you're as skeptical as you are. You know, just a few years ago, it was, quote, politically incorrect to question the administration. Many people got fired for doing that. But fortunately, he's lost a lot of political capital, and people are coming out and voicing their opinion. They are seeing the major inconsistencies here. And
It was seen as politically incorrect and also as even unpatriotic if you question the president. Because when he's at war, we're supposed to check our brains in. And this war has served the other purpose of passing things like the Patriot Act and other repressive laws.
And don't you love the titles they use, Patriot Act? Like,
exactly. Yeah, it's a PR. It's all PR, all spin, and this enables them to use their to maximize executive power at the cost of our individual liberties. The argument being that we cannot afford the luxury of individual liberties right now. Well, I'm sorry. My individual liberties are a lot more precious to me than your oil prices, which, by the way, going up anyway, they manipulate and control the market.
Sure. Absolutely. It's
can't
a big
really
scam.
Say,
well, look at Chavez.
Really say, with this war, we've kept oil prices level and down. No, the oil prices are up there. I live in California, by the way, and when I hear that all over the country, the average price for the oil is now for gas is now $3.35. I say, welcome to California. We've been paying that for almost a year already, and sometimes it goes up even higher. Well, and that's just a way of stealing from the American public, I think.
Yeah, that's all it is. You look at Chavez. I mean, he's selling gasoline for, you know, less than the cost of water. What is it, 12 cents a gallon?
Right. I mean, Citgo in the Northeast was selling it to people who are poor and in need. And that's something the oil companies would never do. And yet he's being demonized as a terrible, evil guy.
Al-Qaeda supporter.
Right.
I mean, it's a Cold War. It's the Cold War all over again, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, when communism folded, you know, they had a panic attack. They'd run out of enemies. They need these threats, as you said when you read that Brzezinski quote and such. There's constant need for people who are for some kind of wicked evil force that is threatening. And then, you know, and the other important thing was while they conjure up these false fears to distract and terrify the American public, there are things we really should be afraid of, and they underplay those. I mean, I think like the threat of global warming is something that is a cause for very real concern. The enormous budget debt that we're facing, George Bush has racked up a record. You know, it's now up to close to $9 trillion.
More than all previous presidents combined. He set a new record.
Exactly, and there were some really big spenders before him.
And, of course, he's lying about it, how bad it is. It's far worse than what they're telling us.
It's a lot.
Anyway, I'm afraid we've run out of time here. But, again, I want to thank you so much, sir. It's been a pleasure having you on. I'm hoping to have you on again sometime. This has been really informative. And, guys, go to his website. Was it michaelparenti.org?
That's right.
And that's spelled parent with an I. Thanks, folks. We'll see you tomorrow with Ray McGovern.